Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Considered to be underinsured. Now, they're underinsured because of the mandated higher deductibles. Think about this for a second. Before, they were they're perfectly fine. You know, many millions of people were perfectly fine with the type of plan that they had. You know, maybe they wanted a few more bells and whistles and it wasn't offered, but they generally were happy with what they had. Their deductible was something that they could afford, that they wanted. They were paying for the lower deductible. Few extra bucks per premium payment gave them a lower. It's just like a car insurance. If you want a $100 deductible, your car insurance premium is going to be higher than if you want a $500 deductible. So people chose a deductible that they wanted. And now all of a sudden, not only has their premium gone way up, but so has their deductible. But they were not considered to be underinsured before Obamacare. Obamacare has made them underinsured. Folks, I don't know how else to think about that. Their deductible has doubled since 2003. 2003, there was no Obamacare. They were not considered to be underinsured back then. And now they're being considered underinsured because of the deductibles have more than doubled since then. And they can't afford that new deductible and pay the higher monthly premiums. And this all comes about because of what? Because of Obamacare. So Obamacare has made 31 million insured people underinsured. Let that sink in for a minute. Let it sink in. Welcome and hello, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere in the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is hump day, Wednesday, May the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we enter the second hour of probably the fastest 2 hours on internet talk radio, here on the Rod Eccles Show. It's Wednesday already. It's the 20th of May. It is the 20th of May already. I mean, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Can you believe that already? Already. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy. Oh, by the way, for all you global warming people, it is going to be rather unseasonably chilly the next few days. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow night, there's a frost warning. You know, people who have set out because I think somewhere around the 15th to 20th is supposed to be the last frost for my region up here in New England. And we're going past the 20th, so on the 21st and the 22nd, they're issuing a frost warning. So much for global warming. You know, we're having an extremely late frost, possible. And the thing is that, you know, up north there is going to be frost. And that's going to kill a lot of stuff, actually. Up north, there's going to be frost. And that'll probably damage the fall foliage, as I like to say, foliage a season. Because if you damage the leaves early on, well, it might be early enough for them to recover, but it could affect. I've heard people talk, it could affect the fall color this year. And right now, it's kind of been kind of dry. Haven't gotten a lot of precipitation. So again, you know, if you have a dry summer, dry growing season, the color is not going to be very brilliant. So here's hoping that, well, you can't hope too hard and too loud and pray too hard and too loud for rain to come. Because I remember a year, because June is right around the corner, and I remember a summer where it rained every single day in June except for 3 or 4 days. We had precipitation every day except for about 3 or 4 days in June. We don't want a repeat of that, honestly. You know, rain once a week is good. If Mother Nature wants to be perfect, you know, raining once a week was probably good. You know, a good soaking rain once a week. You know, bring in the clouds, let it rain all day, as long as it's not a weekend. Let it rain all day. You know, be a gray, dreary day for a day, and let that rain soak, you know, a good couple of inch rain, you know, just soaking in all day long, you know, nice and slow, soft rain, and that's the perfect kind of rain. You get like 2 or 3 inches, but it happens over, like, say, a 24-hour period instead of over an hour, and it's allowed to soak in instead of run off, and everything gets nourished, you know, once a week. Maybe twice a week, you know, maybe on a Monday and maybe on a Thursday, and we're good to go. that would be the perfect thing. You know, if we ever get a weather net system like Star Trek, which I doubt we will, but if we ever did, there is the request. Monday and Thursday rain every week, that, like clockwork. You know, you don't want Wednesday. Well, everybody's kind of depressed on a Monday anyway, so you just might, and you know, nobody's, unless it's a holiday, nobody really likes to take Monday off. So as long as it's not a holiday, let it rain on Monday. If Monday's a holiday, then rain on Tuesday. But you don't want the middle of the week to be dreary, because people are, you know, they're already struggling. And you definitely don't want Friday to be dreary, because, you know, you don't want the ground to be soaking wet on Saturday. Right? So given the Thursday, it gives it a day to kind of, you know, for all the surface water to soak in and dry out. And you know, the sun will come out and people get excited because of the weekend. And then you have a beautiful weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And Rod, what about the people whose weekends aren't Saturday and Sunday? What about people whose weekends are Thursday and Friday? Well, get a job where your weekend is Saturday and Sunday. That's all I got to tell you. Because the majority of people have Saturday and Sunday. Well, what if you're a first responder? Well, then you're used to bad stuff anyway, so it isn't really going to make a difference. Just saying. The number that you can call this evening, should you wish to discuss any of the topics that I've been discussing tonight, is toll-free 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. And if you have a policy, a health insurance policy under Obamacare, where your deductible has doubled or more than doubled, and your premium has also gone up, you might want to contact Bernie Sanders and let him know. And tell him that, you know, well, this income inequality stuff that he's been trying to fight, that fight isn't working so well because it's putting you in the poorhouse. But then he'll probably reply to you and saying, well, that's exactly why we need to tax the rich, because we need to put everybody in the poorhouse, not just the middle class. Believe me, that he will not say it in those words, but that's exactly their plan. Everybody needs to be in the poorhouse so the government can take care of everybody. But the problem is that if you eliminate the rich, if you eliminate the wealthy, if you eliminate the middle class, who's going to pay all the taxes to pay for everybody? It's got to come from somewhere. So there's a limited amount of there's a finite amount of money that goes around, believe it or not. And, you know, value and wealth is unlimited. But when you're actually talking on a taxable basis, there is a finite amount. And if you take too much away from certain groups of people, well, they're not going to have the money anymore. And therefore, your tax source is going to dry up. But your payments are not. So either you're going to have to raise taxes on those who are currently still being able to pay taxes, and they're soon not going to be able to, or you're going to have to cut the so-called benefits. And we already see what happens in you know, when you do that, Greece happens, and all hell breaks loose. And we've seen that, you know, this country can have all hell break loose. Baltimore, anyone? L.A.? You know, L.A. riots, that type of... Now you multiply that by multiple cities, and you can see that there's a real potential here. Real potential for problems. Definite problems. And we don't want problems. You know what? My goal is to someday not have anything to talk about. Because everything is right as rain. Can you imagine if there's a time when there's nothing to talk about because everything is right as rain? I would like that. That would be so very cool, if you will. But we're not going to get there because we have, unless we start really voting out all these leftists. Speaking of leftists, Boy Scouts of America. Now, I was a Boy Scout, and I do know what's happening to the Boy Scouts. It's you know, they're being sued and they're being talked about and lambasted from all corners of society right now. And they're still trying to remain relevant. But capitulating to people, to these special interest groups, is not going to make the Boy Scouts more relevant. It's just not. But Boy Scouts of America, and this is a WashingtonTimes.com story. I picked this up from the Washington Times. Boy Scouts of America bans water gun fights. Because pointing a firearm at somebody is not kind. Yeah, I kid you not. Pointing a water gun at somebody is not kind. Now, forget the fact that everybody wants to participate in a water fight. And, you know, in water fights, people use water guns, they use hoses, and a hose often looks like, you know, with the nozzle on it often looks like a gun. They use buckets and balloons. Well, I guess you're really not going to, because a balloon is like a grenade, I guess, you know, so you're probably not going to be able to do that. But but they're just saying water gun fights. So I guess a hose and a bucket and balloons will be fine. But balloons they pollute because, you know, the balloon bursts and it's on the ground and then everybody gets to go walk around and try to find and pick up the balloon pieces. And they don't always get all those. And, you know, and the birds will eat the balloons and then they'll die because they ate the balloon pieces because they think it's candy or something. But yeah, the Boy Scouts and then the Boy Scouts will begin to ban everything else as well, you know. But the reason is because, you know, one of the directors of the Boy Scouts of America said, you know, a scout once said to me, I thought a scout was supposed to be kind. Well, how is pointing a gun at somebody being kind? And he said, well, okay, it's not. So let's forget the fact that the Boy Scouts is kind of built off of a semi-military type of program, Christian military type of program. When it was first started, you know, the scout is always prepared, you know, they do camping and they do kind of quasi-military stuff. You know, have uniforms and stuff, you know, and they march and they stand at attention and things like, and they do things with the flag that's proper. You know, but no, pointing a gun is not kind. It's not, you know, a scout is trustworthy and kind. And the scout doesn't do things that are not kind and pointing a gun at somebody, even though it's a water gun that everybody likes to use and have fun with because it's just really, you know, cooling you off on a very hot summer day and it's just a lot of fun. But no, it's not kind. Not kind. So you're not going to be able to, you know, have water gun fights in the Boy Scouts anymore. I'm not making this up, folks. This is from WashingtonTimes.com. And I know there are people out there probably thinking, oh, he's making this up. And I got to tell you, I'm not making it up. Not... I almost thought it was a joke. I get it. I did. I thought it was a joke story. It was like an ad or something, which is why I went in as it came across my feed. I'm like, no. This is not for real. It's a joke. But yeah, it's for real. Boy Scouts of America is going to ban water gun fights. Because pointing a water gun at somebody is not kind. Well, I would beg to differ because if it's a hot day and you're not at a pool or a beach, it might be very kind to douse somebody with cooling water. I'm just, look, I remember as a kid, you know, they have these, you know, water cannons now, you know, the play things. Not just a water pistol anymore. You know, we have water rifles and we have, water bazookas basically. You go to Toys R Us or some toy store and you got a plethora of water gun type devices to choose from little small spy types but the problem with those is they always leak. So it's not like you can hide a water gun in your pocket, but you can. They do have, you know, water guns that are very good and they don't leak. There is something that some of you might remember this, and I guess this is something that they're probably, you know, Boy Scouts won't allow either. But there was a, if you remember, there used to be there was an 80s movie. And it was called The Assassination Game. Now, The Assassination Game, the movie, was based on an actual game played on college campuses across the country, across the world, really. And it was called Killer. Now, it was actually a real game. And it was kind of like a spy game. And you actually, back then, there was a central agency, if you will, a person running the game. And you were basically a spy. You were an assassin and you were playing against other assassins. And the wonderful part is that you most likely didn't know who the other assassins were. So everything was kept, you know, hush, hush, secret, secret. And what happened was you'd go at a certain time and you'd get your assignment. Now your assignment, you know, had a picture of the person that you were supposed to hit. Now, the problem is that, well, it wasn't a problem, but the fun is that while you were looking for that one person to hit and eliminate, somebody had the assignment to eliminate you. So it was kind of a cat and mouse type of thing. And one of the ways that you could eliminate somebody was shooting them with a water gun. You could only use non-lethal things, and, you know, things that didn't hurt. So you couldn't use like paint guns back then, paint guns like then off limits, BB guns off limits, obviously real guns off limits. But you know, you could use things like Nerf guns and water pistols and water balloons. You could drop a water balloon in somebody. Now on my campus, when I was in college, these guns, water pistols that were superb. They were not cheap back then, but the thing is that they didn't leak. So you could fill them up and stick them in your pocket or something and they wouldn't leak. So when you saw your assignment on the college square, you could quickly shoot them. Now, the whole point was is that there are different varying rules for different campuses. Now, on my campus, the rule was is that you had to do your best to not be seen. In other words, you couldn't be in the middle of the college quad, if you will. You couldn't be in the quad with, 500 students around and then blatantly, water blow away your target, because now you've been compromised. So you'd be out. So you had to do it as secretive as possible. And one of the ways you do it is, you could actually walk up to the person, as you're walking by and squirt them. And then it's a kill. So you'd get their card of the person that they're supposed to assassinate, and you take it back to Central Command, and he would mark the person off that you eliminated, and then your new target was that person's target. And it came down, to who the last two assassin spies were. And everybody who's participating in the game, they're all, constantly on camp looking, who is it? Who are the last two? And how are they going to get each other? Because now when you're the last two, now you both have each other's cards. So you know who each other is. So now it gets really fun. So it's really spy versus spy type of thing. And it was really kind of interesting. But I'm telling that kind of stuff awfully, because that's not nice, right? Even though everybody's participating and having a good time and having fun, it's just a bunch of fun. I know we are probably training would-be spies and assassins on college campuses all over the country by playing this game. And I remember when we wanted to bring it to my college campus, well, you had to have an advisor. And of course, this college advisor, as a professor, his first thing was, well, this in the movie, people actually got killed. So what are you going to do to stop that? And we're like, professor, that's a movie. Nobody's concerned about somebody actually using a real gun. And besides, but this is the type of liberal mentality that we had even back then. I mean, it's nuts. Liberals don't want you to have fun, and they will press and press and press until they get even the most conservative of groups and believers into not having any fun, because they're so miserable. Liberals are typically miserable people. When was the last time you actually saw Bernie Sanders be happy and smile about something? We see Clinton, Hillary Clinton cackling every once in a while. But it's usually a nervous cackle because she's trying to laugh off somebody's question of something that if she doesn't answer properly or the right way, or if she answers at all, is going to put her in a lot of hot water. But, honestly, we don't get liberals that actually walk around and look happy. I mean, they act miserable and angry all the time. You should probably just start calling them angry young liberals and angry old liberals, because they don't want anybody to have any fun. It's not a good thing to want to, cool somebody off with a water gun. Not now. Even though President Obama participates in such a thing at Camp David with his kids, you won't be able to do it anymore. Sorry, Mr. President. You liberals have spoken. No more fun.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war. As they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up. With no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Echols Show.
This
603-835-3224 is the number to call if you wish to weigh in on anything that I have been discussing with you this evening. We are here Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. live, and you can find us all over the web, all over the internet or interwebs, on various networks throughout the day, even on the weekend. And you can find out where you can listen to the program other than here on my website, rodeckles.net, as well as read some compelling blog post articles that are also syndicated all over the place in places like Clash Daily and CNS News and many, many other places. So you want to check those out. That's rodeckles.net. I'm not one, because you got to be careful, because you don't want people saying that you are anti this or anti that when you're not anti that particular issue. And the same thing with this gay thing here. But this is a WND.com story. Father to marry son with court's blessing. Now, that title grabbed my attention big time. I'm like, what? So what I thought was it was a stepfather who decided that he was gay, and the stepson was gay, and I was thinking that, you know, the father was like 50 something, and the son was like, you know, 20 something, and they decided that they were going to get married, and the court said yay, but that's not exactly how it worked out to be as I read the story. And it's rather ingenious. Now, as I have said before, if gays want to have, you know, the same types of legal rights that straight married people do, there are various different ways that they can go about achieving that. And this one, quote unquote, couple, figured out how to do that, and rather ingenious, actually. But you have to understand that this is opening a door here. This is opening a Pandora's box that we may not be able to shut. And here's why. Now, the Pandora's box, this is from WND.com. The Pandora's box of same-sex marriage has just released a new pairing unimaginable a few short years ago. 2005, this wouldn't have been possible. We wouldn't have thought of it. Today, 10 years later, yes, possible, plausible, doable, happening. Norman MacArthur and Bill Novak, father and son, though not biologically, will soon be husband and husband. Reports Patch of Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The pair are both in their 70s. So you're probably thinking, what? How can they be father and son if they're both in their 70s? They've been together for 50 years and registered in New York City as a domestic partnership or domestic partners back in 1994. But when they moved to Pennsylvania, they discovered their domestic partnership wasn't recognized. The legal same-sex marriage was nowhere to be found on the horizon. Now, needing to take care of estate planning issues, the pair pursued a novel legal approach. Novak, Novak adopted MacArthur back in the year 2000. The fact that their parents were deceased removed any legal objection whatsoever. So both of them are in their 70s, and Mr. Bill Novak decided to adopt his partner, Norman MacArthur, therefore making Norman MacArthur Bill Novak's son. Again, you can't make this stuff up, folks. It was the only legal method we could use in Pennsylvania to give underpinning to our relationship, Mr. MacArthur said. Now, when the United States District Court declared unconstitutional Pennsylvania's marriage laws, or anti-gay marriage laws, prohibiting same-sex marriage back in 2014, Novak and MacArthur wanted to tie the knot in marriage, but their earlier legal gambit now became an obstacle. See, Pennsylvania doesn't permit marriage between parents and children. Do you see the quandary now? Do you see the Pandora's box? So a week ago, the father and son, quote-unquote, petition to vacate adoption decree was approved, and the pair simply became two single men who are now allowed to marry. WND.com, folks. If the story's there, you can't make this stuff up. That's one of those things you just throw up your hands and look, you know, they found legal remedies to their problems. And those legal remedies, each of them seemed to work. And for a time, all I can say about that is good on you. You know, is that Aussie saying good job? Good on you. They did it. I guess if you're a same-sex partnership and you want to have, you know, take care of your legal rights and your estate and that type of thing, then one of you just has to adopt the other. And hopefully, you know, the living parents, if your parents are still living, that they won't object. It has its own problems because now there's family problems and things like that. But evidently they didn't have to change your name when they adopt, so that's fine too, I guess. I'm just bringing this. Look, I don't blame me, and I just find this stuff out there. It just comes across my newsfeed, and I feel like it. You know, you need to know. You need to know this stuff. You need to know what's going on, because 10 years ago this couldn't have happened. I mean, yeah, they adopted, one of them adopted the other back in 2000, but the whole notion that they would do what they did to get the adoption annulled so they could get married, that never would have come across anybody's mind back in 2005. Just saying. Not all change is good, by the way. Just, you know, things are always changing, but not all change is good. They're in their 70s, they're happy, they wanted to be able to, you know, do whatever with their estate. I say leave Pennsylvania, go back to New York City. They were okay with it there. Another story on gays, this one from Politico. Study on gay marriage views retracted after allegations of fake data. Now, this happens a lot. From the left, all this fake data stuff. You know, it's infamous with the global warming crowd, but they don't want to acknowledge it. Oh no, yeah, the data can be fake, Rob, but it doesn't change the fact that it's real. Well, if you fake the data, that means the results of your data are fake, so therefore your conclusion cannot be real. But once it's out there, you know, they don't care that the data is fake. They don't care that the conclusion is fake. It's now they just believe what they want to believe, and even that fake data proves what they believe. So I know it's so convoluted that it's very difficult, if not impossible, for anybody to wrap their minds around it. But you're lucky because you have me to be able to do that for you, because I can wrap my mind around this because I understand liberals. And to you, they make absolutely no sense, and they really don't. But I understand their idiocy and their insanity. And I understand their motivation. So that gives me some insight as to why this happens and why this particular story actually happened. Now, one of the authors of a recent study that claimed that short conversations with gay people could change minds on same-sex marriage has retracted the study. What? Yeah, there were co-authors. Now, Columbia University political science professor Donald Green's retraction this week of a popular article published in the December issue of the academic journal Science follows revelations that his co-author allegedly faked data for the study. Now, when contact changes minds, an experiment on transmission of support of gay marriage. Now, basically what they were saying is that the study was saying using supposedly real extracted data that when there was a short conversation, when a gay person had a short conversation with a straight person about the need, the rights, the legality, you know, the positivity, if you will, of gay marriage, that the straight person's mind was changed. You know, they became enlightened. Oh, they saw the light. Well, lo and behold, the actual facts as presented in the study was faked. So, in other words, the facts were not facts. They were fakes. It was a fraud. Now, according to the academic watchdog blog Retraction Watch, Green published a retraction of the paper Tuesday after confronting co-author Michael LaCour, LACOUR, a graduate assistant at UCLA. Now, the study received widespread coverage from the New York Times, from Vox, the Huff and Puff Huffington Post, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, and others when it was first released back in December. Now, Green said, "I am deeply embarrassed by this turn of events and apologize to the editors, reviewers, and readers of Science." In an email to Political, Green said he spoke with LaCour by phone on Tuesday and that he maintained that he did not fabricate the data, but told me that he could not locate Qualtrics source files for the surveys of the Qualtrics interface or any of his drives. Now, Qualtrics was a survey platform that was purportedly used through a company spokesman clarified to Politico that it did not collaborate with LaCour or anyone else on the study. So now Qualtrics are saying, well, we don't know LaCour. We didn't collaborate with him or anybody else in the study. And, we didn't fake it. So Green said, I asked LaCour to write a retraction, and he indicated he would do so, but when it did not appear last night, I sent off my own retraction. Now, here's a professor who's actually, you know, trying to uphold academic and research standards, and LaCour said he was going to, but like any good liberal, he didn't really want to do that because he needed for the study to be believed to be true because there was an agenda behind it. See, the study was, it's very easy to do this kind of stuff. When you already have the result that you want, you will go and try to design a study to fit what you wanted to come out with to your final conclusion that you've already come up with. Instead of just doing a study and letting the facts take you where the facts take you. No, in other words, you come up with the premise first. And then you test the premise to come out with the conclusion. In this particular case with liberals, they do it the opposite. They already have the conclusion. Now they're just going to look for the data that gets them back to the premise that they want. And most of the time, the data will not support their predetermined conclusion. So they make up the data. They twist the premise so they can make up the data so it can give them the conclusion that they already knew that they had. They're not looking for truth in science. They're looking for validation of what they already believe. That's not the way science works. On any level, this is how we get global warming crap. You know, they already had the notion or the conclusion that global man-made global warming existed. Now, we just have to prove it. But that's not how you do things scientifically. Scientifically is, does man-made global warming exist? That's the premise. That's the question. Okay, let's go find out. Let's not throw any, you know, let's not make up the data. Let's just go let the data guide us where it's going to lead us to the truth. And then at the end of the study, if it's done properly and done right, you would conclude, okay, the data does or does not show that man is the cause of global warming. In this particular case, does not show. But that's not what they did. What they did is said, man causes global warming. So how does man cause global warming? We've got to go out there and find that data. That's how they faked it and came up with it. Same thing here. You know, straight people, if you talk to them, they'll become enlightened. That was their conclusion, what they believed. It's not the truth, evidently, but that's what they believed. And so now they're saying, okay, now the premise is how do we go out? What is it going to take for straight people to believe to come to our conclusion? Oh, well, we'll just go out and create this evidence here. In other words, they'll fake it so people believe it. And they think that by faking it so people will believe that the study is true, that they will actually, in turn, change their minds. Well, geez, you know, a lot of these people that they're talking to seem to think it's okay. I guess maybe I should reevaluate and think it's okay. Trust me, folks, that is exactly what they were trying to do. However, evidently, Professor Green wasn't fully on board with that idea. Now, the story doesn't tell us exactly how he got involved and how all of a sudden, you know, he came to his senses and realized, oh no, this stuff is fake. But he evidently, he was a whistleblower. And you know, he should probably watch his back, tell you the truth. I'm not kidding on this one, folks. He should watch his back. Because it's not, well... So in another email, the Political Liqueur wrote that he has read the investigation and will respond. He says, I'm gathering evidence and relevant information so I can provide a single comprehensive response. I will do so at my earliest opportunity. Now, the investigation into the paper began when graduate students at the University of California in Berkeley were initially impressed with the work and wanted to do an extension of the study. Now, according to a timeline on their probe posted on Tuesday, when the students started a similar study, they found they were not getting the large response rate that Green and Liqueur received on theirs. So red flags went up, and the kids were like, "Oh, man, how come we're not getting the same response and results as these guys got?" And believe it or not, they were being good students here. They wanted to figure out, they were probably trying to figure out what they were doing wrong. And in their investigation trying to figure out what they were doing wrong, they came across, well, this doesn't seem real. It's got to be fake. But nobody bothered to do a peer review of this. Well, no, they didn't bother to do a peer review of it simply because the conclusion was the conclusion that everybody within their peer group wanted in the first place. So the students' report chronicles numerous irregularities of the study, which they said allegedly consisted of repeated observations of the same 11,948 voters over a series of weeks, including the use of the feeling thermometer survey technique, which they called notoriously unreliable in terms of measurement error. In other words, they were using a method of determining people's responses that is known to be fakery. It's not accurate. However, in both studies, respondents' feeling thermometer values are extremely reliable, more so than nearly any other survey items in which we are aware, the report states. But if that's more reliable, which is not reliable at all, then the rest of the study obviously is also not reliable. So that's how it came about. Somebody just, you know, as students wanted to do an extension of it. They weren't getting the results, you know, that they thought they should be getting because, you know, the study that they're basing their study on was getting these huge results and huge return, and they weren't getting anywhere near that. So they said, well, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Is it us or is it them? And they wanted to find out. So they looked at their data and they said, well, no, it's them, not us. And here's the real thing. People don't change their minds when you talk to them. That's basically what's happening here. You know, a short conversation isn't changed. So, again, this whole notion that now the majority of Americans in the majority of states are for gay marriage is bogus. It's bogus. But this is, now you're probably saying, well, Rod, aren't you being anti-gay? No, I'm telling you this simply because this is the premise that liberals go on for just about everything. It is amazing how we have an overwhelming majority of people who do not like this a particular liberal idea or ideal. And then all of a sudden, over a short period of years, all of a sudden, everything is flipped. This is exactly what happened with gay marriage. This is what happened with Obamacare. Oh, no. People actually like Obamacare now. Really? How is that possible when so many people, 31 million of them or more, are now underinsured that weren't underinsured, you know, 10 years ago, and all these people that are still not really covered, and people who now didn't get to keep their doctor or get to keep their plan, and they have something that they didn't want to begin with. How does that mean that the overwhelming majority now support Obamacare? It doesn't. It just means that this is the way that liberals try to trick us into getting something that we don't want in the first place, because they say, well, everybody else over here, all your neighbors like it, you're the only holdout. So then people say, well, I guess if my neighbors like it, I guess I better look at it and I better like it too then, because I don't want to be the idiot. And this is how they get their numbers. Because they fake it all, folks. Doesn't matter what it is. This is just a prime example of how they do it. And for the first time, it has been put down in print on the Political, which is not exactly a total conservative rag mag. They put it down on paper exactly how they achieved this goal. And so now you know how they do it from day to day. Told you. I'm out of time for today, folks. We'll be back here tomorrow. So be here or be square. I'm Rod Echols. This has been the Rod Echols Show. I'm out.